stretcher. One of them was dying between my hands. You think commands, injections, things to make the time pass as hope or action. She used to chase love bugs after school to make them alight on her. She wanted not to have walked with naked men chained to a tank. In the houses she entered, a lemon, an olive, an apricot. And out of nowhere, a girl receives an ovation from her rescuers, all men on their knees and bellies, clearing the man-made rubble with their bare hands, disfigured by dust into ghosts. All disasters are natural, including this one, because humans are natural. The rescuers tell her she's incredible, powerful, and for a split second before the weight of her family's disappearance sinks her, she smiles like a child who lived for 7 years above ground receiving praise. I'll close with a short one. Not everyone is a physician, but sooner or later, everyone fails to heal. In Gaza, a girl and her brother rescued their fish from the rubble of airstrikes. A miracle, its tiny bowl didn't shatter. Thank you.
What you heard were the opening remarks of Dr. Hanan Hammad, Arab American Educational Foundation Chair in Modern Arab History and Director of the AAEF Center for Arab Studies at the University of Houston, followed by reading of a series of short poems by Dr. Fadi Judah. They were delivered on October 17, 2024, at an event titled The Unending War on Palestinian Children, organized by the Arab American Educational Foundation Center for Arab Studies at the University of Houston. Just a quick reminder, folks, that KPFT, this unique, commercial-free community radio station, is currently in fund drive, and I urge you to call 713-526-5738 to support this radio station and support the work that we at Arab Voices do and everybody else does at this station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We do all of this as volunteers. We don't get paid a penny for what we do. But in order to continue to bring you programs such as Arab Voices, we ask you to support this radio station. Please make a tax-deductible contribution of any amount you can afford by calling 713-526-5738 or do it online at kpft.org. Thank you very much. The main speaker at the Unending War on Palestinian Children event was Heidi Morrison, Associate Professor of History at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. She specializes in modern Middle East and the global history of childhood. She has published several books. I'm going to air part one of her talk now and plan to air part two during the next episode of Arab Voices. Let's listen in, and the voice you will hear first is that of Dr. Hanan Hammad, Arab American Educational Foundation Chair in Modern Arab History and Director of the AAEF Center for Arab Studies at the University of Houston, introducing Professor Heidi Morrison.
Dr. Heidi Morrison, Associate Professor of History in University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, and a very prolific scholar, one of the pioneer scholars and historians actually who researched intensively children in the Middle East. As a historian, we started together actually as historians in Egypt. I'm still loyal to be a historian in Egypt, but she branched out to incorporate children on global level. Her first book was actually very inspiring about colonial childhood in colonial Egypt. And since then, she had several books either authored or edited, and hot out of the press, the book tonight, Lived Resistance Against the War on Palestinian Children. And her next book, or the book that she's working on now, is Palestinian Children During the Intifada. I'm so appreciative of Dr. Morrison because she has been an intensive tour in Finland, actually, with her book. And she's just back from Europe, and still she was willing happily to join us tonight. So please join me welcoming Dr. Morrison.
So thank you, first of all of you, for being here. You could be anywhere else, but you're here to hear about Palestinian children, so thank you. And thank you to Dr. Hamad for inviting me, for our friendship over the years, for your work that inspires me. And thank you to Dr. Judah for your amazing, touching poetry. And also thank you to the Center of Arab Studies and to the University of Houston for having me here. So I'll talk for a bit and then we'll open it up to dialogue, hopefully. So when I was doing research a while back in Jenin in the West Bank, one of the young men who I interviewed, who I've been interviewing for years now, he told me, you know, Doctora, you're gonna go back to the United States, you're gonna publish your book, you're gonna advance in your career, and you come back here to Jenin, I'm still gonna be sitting here smoking my cigarette, waiting for Israel to kill me. And he's right. Here I am, advanced in my career, publishing books, in a place of privilege, in a place where he cannot be. And there he is in Jenin, waiting for bombs to drop, waiting for the next raid to come in to Jenin. So in this place of privilege, I seek to amplify the voices of Palestinians, to share what I bore witness to during my time in Palestine, my years in Palestine. I hope to also let Palestinians know that they're not alone. They have friends out there. And also in this place of privilege, I try not to profit from this place of privilege. I try not to, in the words of the scholar Shireen Razak, I try not to steal the pain of others. As a minor way of getting around that, all the book donations go to the Gaza Scholar Fund. All my honorariums go to the Gaza Scholar Fund. And if I were Palestinian and I had somebody up here speaking about me who wasn't Palestinian, I would hope that that person would acknowledge the larger context and the complicity of, in my case as an American, my government in what's going on in Gaza and in Palestine. So we'll start with the larger backdrop. The larger backdrop to the book, which I'm going to talk to you about, and the larger backdrop to Palestinian children, is the 20th and 21st century historical phenomena of adults conducting wars against children. And the numbers speak for themselves. Peter Stearns, a world historian, writes, as I put up here on the slide, that it's been estimated that 150 million children have been killed in wars and purported civil wars around the world since the 1970s, and another 150 million crippled and maimed. So that's as if every North American child, every child born in Canada and the United States since the 1970s, every one of them had been killed or injured. That's how many children we're talking about. UNICEF says that 1 in 5 children today are living in or fleeing from conflict zones. That's about 400 million children. Children are targeted for a number of reasons, including they are the future. You kill the children, you kill the future of your enemy. They're also targeted because people don't always acknowledge this or are not aware of this, but we live in what's called an adult-centric world. Just like we live in a Eurocentric world, just like we live in a heteronormative centric world, we live in an adult-centric world that does not place the well-being of children at the center of all our decision-makings. If we did, those numbers I read you before would not be like they are. Palestinian children are very much the canaries in the coal mine for all these children of war everywhere in the world. And we cannot say we do not know what's going on in Gaza. We're all watching, live streaming on our phones, a genocide. We're watching war crimes be committed upon decades of war crimes. And although we don't need it, The international community has come together to document this. The International Court of Justice has issued two recent advisory opinions on the matter. Last January, the ICJ said that Israel is committing plausible genocide with irreparable damage in Gaza. Then, just a few months ago, the ICJ said that the decades-long occupation and annexation of Palestinian lands by Israel is unlawful and constitutes a structure of racial domination, very much like what Archbishop Desmond Tutu has called and compared to the apartheid in South Africa. Both ICJ opinions call for the immediate halting of the sale and transfer of weapons to Israel. And then just a few weeks ago, the UN General Assembly, in line with the ICJ, made a landslide vote that said that Israel needs to withdraw from the occupied lands. And this, again, is also consistent with resolutions on illegal Israeli expansionism for decades. There are many ways to commit a genocide. Genocide, again, is the intention to kill a group of people for who they are. There are many characteristics of genocides. We're all very familiar, of course, with the Holocaust and rounding up people, putting them in concentration camps as a way to exterminate a group of people. Also, right here on our own land, the Native Americans were targeted and attacked through the purposeful spread of disease and the forceful assimilation policies, like the boarding schools. Femicide is another way of committing genocide. You can deliberately murder and discriminate against women, use rape as a weapon of war. We saw this in Rwanda. Now, I'm not a war crimes investigator, so I'm not here to say that this is a genocide against children. But what I do see is a lot of patterns and a lot of evidence pointing to the deliberate targeting of young people in Gaza right now. They are not collateral damage. They are not just a byproduct of war, they're deaths. The numbers, as Hanan said, the numbers, you know, we don't know. At the very least, 14,000. UNICEF says 14,000 young people have been killed, thousands injured. There's no safe space for children in Gaza. They don't have access to water. They don't have access to food, medicine, fuel. There was just an article in The Guardian where the acting advisor of the IDF said that babies will die in incubators from the lack of fuel, and he said that this is a, quote, necessary condition.
What you just heard was part one of Professor Heidi Morrison's talk delivered on October 17, 2024, at the University of Houston at an event organized by the Arab American Educational Foundation Center for Arab Studies at UH, titled The Unending War on Palestinian Children. I will air part two of her talk during the next episode of Arab Voices. You're listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Did you know that this program, Arab Voices, has been on the air since April 2002? That's over 22 years of weekly Arab Voices programming, over 1,000 programs covering different topics with more than 1,000 expert guests appearing on the show from around the globe. All of that has been possible because of your support to KPFT, Houston's community station, our community radio station. And it is time for the fund drive. Please call right now to support KPFT at 713-526-5738 and make a tax-deductible contribution or make it online at kpft.org. Every dollar counts. Think of the value you get out of KPFT and really for everyone who listens. We know that not everyone can contribute, but if you can and appreciate what KPFT brings you every day, please consider a pledge because KPFT relies on you, the listeners, for support. The phones are open. There is room for your call. Help keep up the momentum. Call 713-526-5738 or donate online at kpft.org. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.
Radio Lora, 97,5 MHz. Lora.ch. Der Rest kann spülen. We'll be right back.
a way of life. No government means to trust your friends. I know who I am and you know who you are.
There'd be no government.